Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tribal Wisdom Radio, your marriage support network. Tune in for all things love, marriage, and family. We are devoted to love. Here we go.
Here we go indeed. It is another Wedding Wednesday, 1 hour with us. Talking with the date whisperer herself, Tia Hill, discussing, are you ready for the ring? We love this topic here. We love Tia. Tia is commonly referred to as the relationship fixer. The date whisperer has over 10 years of experiencing and solving the romantic relationship problems of men and women from all walks of life. Whether you're a successful corporate tycoon that keeps striking out at love, a young professional struggling to make sense of relationship, or a single parent ready for a fresh start. That is what we will be discussing tonight about. Are you ready for the ring? We want to know how it is that you go about choosing who you want to date. Now, as we wait for the date whisperer to join us tonight, We have to let you know that if you have a question or a comment, you can give us a call at 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 if you have any questions or comments, and we'll bring you in with the date whisperer tonight. Now, I'm not sure what's going on with her. I think she's trying to get through. Sometimes, you know, we do experience some technical difficulties on the show. We are doing so right now. But while we wait, let us also tell you about an event that we have coming up in April. Tribal Wisdom and Bridal Tribe is having our first Fit to Be Bride Wellness Expo, where all brides from every walk of life can come and learn tips on cooking, shopping, fitness, all kinds of things, and we can't wait to tell you more about it. Stay tuned. Watch our social media networks for more information about it. And save the date, April 14th, 2015, after work, 6 to 9 p.m. Now, let's get into it. I'm going to put you guys on hold just for a second because I see that Tia is trying to come in. So give us a 1 second to fix this issue. Okay, hey Tribers, we are back once again with tonight's show. Are you ready for the ring with our special guest, Tia Hill? We do apologize for that technical difficulty. It does happen from time to time. Please forgive us. We're not going to prolong anything. Let's just bring her right in. Tia, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Girl, you scared me. What is going on?
I don't know. I was like, hello, I'm sorry. Just technical difficulties, but we're here.
We are. We're on tonight talking about, are you ready for the ring? This is going to be a monthly discussion strictly for our singles. And tonight we want to discuss how we choose, who we choose. You know, we're talking about types. What is our type and what type should we be looking for? To get into that a little bit, of course, we have a few questions about the date whisperer, because this is what you do. When people come to you for a consultation, or they come and say, I am ready to be matched with my person, how do we start, you know, how do we do this? Why would they come to the date whisperer in order to prepare for getting back into the dating scene?
The running joke is that I am Olivia Pope to relationships. You only come to me when you're ready and you know what you want or you know what you need to be fixed. And we say that because as women, and I attest everything to the journey that I have been through prior to, the reason that I am able to help women is I have been in almost every situation that is imaginable as a woman. And the purpose of us going through things is to be able to learn our lesson and then to teach and someone else go through theirs. So all of the different steps, all the different roads, all the different journeys, all the different crimes and relationship woes that I've been through, I literally had to go through in order to be able to help other women and to let them see what they're choosing incorrectly and why they're choosing incorrect things. Because
now,
whatever we start in the beginning is what we continue.
Yes, yes. And that is so important. That is a conversation that is rarely had in our homes or sometimes even amongst our girlfriends. You know, sometimes our girlfriends are more in tune to he's cute, you know, he's coming from a great family, he's got a job, he's actually a black man working, you know, or
right.
he's a man
right.
a man working. But we rarely really get into readiness for dating.
Right.
So to start, now you say that they have to come to you only when they know they're ready, but do they necessarily know if or that they're ready? How do you go about assessing the readiness of the people that come to have your services?
One is our price point, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ways that we know if you're ready or not, because you're willing to invest in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we laugh and we joke and we talk about different things, but when you are at peace with understanding that there is something wrong and you need to fix it, and that it comes with a price, and it's the same as going to school and getting an education or picking up a trade. You have to go to trade school, and you have to invest in you. So that's one of the things that we started. And then from there, I can tell by the way that they speak. Most women, when they're ready to be married or they're ready for a serious relationship, they don't use the word, "Oh, my friends have one." Their terminology goes more along the lines, "I want my partner. I am ready to build. I am ready to connect. I am ready to go forward in life with someone else, and I know that I am not supposed to do this alone." Not the, "Oh, my friends are getting married, and I'm not married. I want a baby." The terminology is just totally different.
Nice. Of course, I really think that's important, because you want to be able to truthfully tell someone, you know what, I don't think you're ready. And my question is, if they're not using the correct terminology, do you help them become ready? Do you talk to them about what it is that they need to be looking for? Is there a prep time?
There is. So typically before we'll do like a 15-minute assessment, you'll call. And I ask very specific questions that I ask. I ask questions you don't want to answer, or you feel as though I'm being intrusive immediately. The way that a person responds lets me know their sense of urgency, their sense of willing to be taught, if they're trainable, if they're too independent, if they're too headstrong, if they are confused in what being a woman is, if they are ready for partnership. And
mm-hmm.
that means marriage, that means building, that means bonding, that means connection, that means sharing, that means not having the last word, that means understanding the power of being still, that means understanding yourself enough to be able to share that with someone else. So when I ask those questions based off of someone's response, then we're typically able to say, she's ready, she's almost ready, we can take her through this program, or we can just do some different type of workshops with her, but she's not ready completely to meet a man or to get the ring.
No, I like that. I like that you're willing to take people through a workshop to really help them prepare. I always say, you know, just because you've lost interest in showing that you're valuable doesn't necessarily mean that people have stopped seeing your value and that there's no one that's interested in dating you.
Right.
So
that is not what that means.
Right. Right. And some people, you know, really need to be prepared to step out again. Typically, you know, for an example, let's go for one of the things that you mentioned in your bio, which is, let's say that you're a single parent who's ready to step out again. As there are single parents who, because they have small children, they don't want to date while they have small children. They want to make
right.
sure that when they step into something that, the, you know, the child is prepared as well as they are prepared. Is there, you know, how do you, I want to say, how do you do that? But, you, I mean, you've already explained, you ask certain questions, you put them in workshops.
No, that's okay.
And you assess their readiness. When the issue is that they might be a little shy about getting back out there, how do you help them really be able to step out again, you know, to kind of shed that fear? Sometimes it's fear, sometimes it's shyness, whatever it is. How is it that you help them shed that to be prepared again? What kind of building up of their mind is available to people who want to? They're, you know, they know that they're ready, but they're, you know, they're just afraid to step out there and do it. Tia? Oh, boy. Okay. Tia's call has dropped, but I'm sure she's going to call me right back. Give me 1 second. Let's see. Yes, here she is. Here she is. So don't go anywhere. We're bringing her back in now. Tia, you there?
Yes. I didn't what? Push the right button. It dropped,
I didn't push
one.
You keep trying to leave me. You know, we're trying to have a deep
no,
conversation here.
No, okay.
You know, Let's talk about people. You know, the question is about readiness. There are people who know that they're kind of ready to date. They've got that desire to step back out there, but they still are a little gun shy. They're still, you know, they're a little hesitant about really stepping out there, and they're unsure about how to be on a date again, because sometimes maybe they haven't dated in a long time. Or maybe they've never experienced a really nice date.
Ooh.
How, and it's so true. I know a lot of, you know, people who, especially they've just kind of restarted dating again after maybe 5, 6, 10 years, and they've had relationships that were either abusive, controlling, they weren't well prepared with the information that they need to kind of step out and be their confident selves. In
right.
a dating situation, how are we building women up to get prepared for partnership?
Okay, this is so absolutely amazing that you asked me this question. This is amazing. I posted on my our Date Whisperer Instagram this morning early, and I want to read what it says so that you can understand the answer to your question. What we said was, and it was a post, and I absolutely love it because I feel as though it's very real. If a man treats you how you treat yourself, a lot of times when we are not dating, we stop living. There are some women who live, but they're not dating themselves. So you get into the flow of the hustle and the bustle. You get into the children. You start to live into your kids rather than living for you. You start to live for your career. And you get so caught up in these things that as life's going on around you, you don't have time to sit back and say or realize I'm missing amazing opportunities because I'm not taking the time to love myself. I'm loving everything else around me, but not me. And so when I tell a woman that she has to get ready to get back into that, what is it that you like? And when I ask people, what is it that you like? If you've been taking care of Sally and John for 15 years, you know what Sally and John like. You know what they eat. You know what they don't eat. You know what time somebody comes home from school, cheerleading practice, football practice, basketball, tennis.
When are you breathing? When are you living? When are you smiling? Mm-hmm. And then you want to go on a date, and this person will ask you, tell me about you, and you have literally, what do you have to say? Because everything that you've done has been geared towards other people. So one of the things, especially the single mothers, I tell the single mothers, you have to take you on a date once a month. If you can't, I understand some people's life, they don't may not have a babysitter, once a month. And even if that means you have to take a two-hour lunch break and you're like, you know what, today I'm taking myself to dinner and to lunch at this really nice restaurant that I saw, and I can only afford the lunch menu, but that's where I'm going, and I'm going to get myself a glass of wine, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to journal out what I like or what I want to do or where I would like to go or something, an object to work towards. You have to do that to stay connected with you. And we don't spend me time and we don't have our time. And that's not first always getting your hair done or your nails done. I mean, like, literally taking yourself on something because you're literally being ready and prepared. And on that day, you still dress up. You still put your makeup on. You wear matching bra and underwear because you're dating yourself. And however you treat you is how another person is going to treat you.
Now, I definitely like what you said. I mean, the first thing that you said was very powerful, which is when we stop dating, we tend to stop living.
Mm-hmm.
So we are disconnected with the things that we like. And I've often heard that if you ask someone what it is that they like when it comes to dating, they really cannot answer you. They don't always know, well, this is the type of movie I like. This is the type of date I would like to be on. I would like someone who's humorous. I would like someone who's intelligent. Whatever it is, sometimes it's hard for them to put into words what it is that they're looking for and what it is that they like for themselves. So I absolutely agree that when we stop dating, we kind of stop living because we don't experience anymore what it is that we like in order to verbalize it well. So
right.
Let's get into some traits because me and a couple of my girlfriends, we had a discussion about types. You know, what is it that we like? What is our type? And of course, you know, there's always a description of, you know, I like dark skin, I like locks, you know, or I like wavy hair, I like beautiful teeth. I know one time you said something about, you know, somebody being insecure about a baby toe that cracks me up still to this day. I like someone who's secure but not controlling. I mean, we have this list of things that we like. We have this list of types, but it's rarely said. I rarely hear people say, I would like to know about his purpose and what his purpose in my life would be. So let's, you know, how do you discern the purpose of a partner?
I love that question. the way that you discern the purpose of a partner is very, very, very simple. Know you. Know that you've learned from your past tests. Everything is given to us, and you know I'm spiritual still, but everything is given to us over and over again. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing is new under the sun. We often will get the same man in different physical disguises until we understand that this is what I don't want. So if the last guy you met didn't have a job, but when you met him, he was smooth with his words. He was very clairvoyant. He was able to whimsical wine and dine you in those first two, maybe first month, and then all of a sudden he got real. Are you still learning? Did you learn from that? Did you learn, before I fall for you, allow you to date me. Let me allow myself not to get caught up in going to your home. Let me allow, you know, there's so many different things that you can be able to discern. Oftentimes, we jump right back in and we haven't dealt with a situation or healed from it or learned the lesson. So when people say, I keep meeting horrible men, and I don't understand why, you are what you attract. So you're still exuding something, and you're not learning the lesson. And you're speaking what you want, but you're not speaking what you don't want, You don't know your worth, which therefore confuses you with your non-negotiables, because you're thinking that you are worth Ruth Chris, but you can't. You don't allow your non-negotiable is that he has to have a job. But can he afford Ruth Chris with his job? Or are you just asking for something because it seems good, sounds good, and your friend did that, and then she looks happy?
Yes. Yes, true. We're going to get into the friends a little later on, because I sometimes that is very misleading, that they look happy. They look like they're in a happy situation, but, truth be told, it's something totally different. So, and I want us to stop falling into those traps with just because your friend found someone that looks like a match or a partner, they may not necessarily be telling you the real story. And you might end up being envious of something that is not really of value to anyone.
Correct. Correct. And I love the way that you just said that, because we look at the outside, and that's why discerning men or women is so difficult. We are constantly looking at what other people have. And I tell people all the time, if you take the time to focus on your own grass, I mean really focus on your grass and start to look at you. And that's one of the most difficult things. And that's one of the things that I try to walk everyone through, because I had to go through it. I'm telling you this because I went through it. I kept meeting the same guy in different outfits, in different skins, in different colors, and I call myself, I am a United Nations dater, meaning that I dated, except for obese, but outside of that, I dated you.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept saying, why are you all garbage? But guess what? You want to get real? I was garbage.
Right. Right. Let's pull that mirror up. Yeah.
And I wasn't exuding. I wasn't demanding. I wasn't requesting. I wasn't requiring. I was lacking key skills to function. I was hot-headed. I would cuss you out. That's not being a woman. That's not even being a lady. I would tell you where you could go and how fast you could get there.
Whoop. Well,
so
you
then
said
when you act a certain way, I'm wondering why.
Now, you mentioned that you were lacking key skills to function. What does that mean?
Lacking key skills to function is, how do I say this properly? You do not know how to function in the real world. You function in the world that you created, and then you get into society, and you don't know how to function. You don't know how to talk to people. You don't know how to command respect with your clothes on. You don't know how to be poised. You don't know how to be quiet and to listen. These are all things you need to function. If you have a job, you need to be quiet. You need to listen to the instructions to learn this company's protocol and the way that they do business. You need to learn how to command attention in a room without speaking. You need to understand the power of being quiet. You need to know when to speak up for yourself and how to do it with authority. And oftentimes, based on how you raised and what you do and don't know, we react or we deal with situations totally different, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. We're definitely going to touch on two things, because you made one powerful statement. Do you command respect with your clothes on? That question right there, all by itself, is something else. We're going to have to break that down. But you know what? What we did not do at the beginning, at the top of the show, is really let's define dating again. We've done this in previous shows. But again, let's talk about what dating is, because we don't want you to think that dating with a purpose is about dating one person and naming them your spouse and naming them the person that you want to get with. What is dating about again? So that our listeners understand what we mean by dating.
Dating is having fun. Dating is living your life. Dating is deciding, associating, testing, and evaluating. That is what dating is.
When I tell someone I am dating, I am living. I am living. I'm having a ball and I'm having fun, and it's not a sexual commitment to anyone. It is not a tied down to someone in particular. It just means that me and I am comfortable with myself as a woman, and I am able to, if a guy I can go, have fun with no strings attached, allowing myself to live, breathe, and have fun, period.
Yes. So dating, having fun, you can date multiple people, you want to be yourself, you want to be comfortable, and you want to be evaluating the people that you are dating so that you can see what it is that you want. Now, when you decide to be exclusive, we move into courting. Is that what we said before?
That's what we said before, right?
Let's go into courting. Let's define courting one more time.
Courting is where both parties are now looking at each other in the realm of marriage. You are practicing some of the attributes of marriage, and mostly the man is defining if this could be his wife, and his intention is to marry you. It is a purposeful intention of marriage. So the date, this is an exclusive relationship. Let me reiterate that. It is an exclusive relationship between said person and I for us to go through the process to deal with each other, otherwise known as boyfriend and girlfriend, otherwise known as boo thing, otherwise known as, in the mature realm, my lady friend, for most guys who are 35 and old, 36 and over. They don't say girlfriend often. They'll say my lady. Different,
okay.
Or my friend. They'll use that terminology. 35 and under, mostly, friend is not a good word to be called, but they know how to use it now.
Excellent. So now, to my listeners, you've heard what dating is. You've heard what courting is, so that you are being more intentional and exclusive with the person when they are courting you. You are still asking questions. You are still in the evaluating stages to make sure that you want to move forward, because as I always say, you can say no all the way up until you walk down the aisle. You can be in front of the preacher man.
That's right.
And if your gut tells you stop, halt, cease, do not go any further, that is your prerogative to stop it right there. Do not be embarrassed to do so. Don't worry about what money you've spent on the ceremony, any of that, because it is not worth any unhappiness that you will experience moving forward. It will cost you more to get out of an unhappy relationship than it does for you to stop it right there and go, you know what? We need to rethink this thing.
Say that one more time. Say that last part.
It will cost you more to get out of an unhappy relationship than it will to take the time and rethink what you're getting into. Thoughts are currency all by themselves, and the currency and the value belongs to you. So always value yourself. I want to make sure that our listeners know that. And you know what? While we're on the subject of this, if you have a question or a comment about this topic, this discussion, please do call in 347-996-3160. Press the number 1 to let me know that you have a question or a comment, and we will bring you into the conversation. So let's move in, because we're talking about recognizing and discerning a purpose in the individuals that we're dating, especially for people who are stepping back into the dating game. They are realizing that they're looking for partnership. They're realizing that even still, that sometimes they have some things that they would like to change about themselves. They have questions, you know, how do I become a better listener, and so on and so on. So when it comes to purpose, Tia, is there a way, how about this, how do you demonstrate that you understand what relationship is? When you're dating someone, how can someone demonstrate to me that they know what relationship is and that they're not sending me mixed signals? I know my listeners have been in situations where they have received mixed signals from whomever they were dating. They would say one thing and do another. You know, they had that saying that says, don't just look at what they say, look at what they do. Or don't just look at what they do, look at what they say. But, you know, sometimes to me, that's still not always an indicator. There are mixed
signals.
It isn't.
Mm-hmm. There's always different mixed signals. There are some type of men, and I hate to say this, even with women, but we'll talk about men today or a little bit right now. There are certain men that speak what they feel and will later do it as they know the woman is more real, who are natural gamers, and they just start off with amazing hoopla, and you're, like, taken from the jump. What I've learned is this, and this goes back to the dating phase. If I'm just dating you and you are promising me, when I say promising, there's a way that a man can talk to you and you know exactly what I'm talking about, and he's like, oh, if she was my woman, she would have all of this, blah, blah, blah. If you were mine. And the woman, if she's not smart enough, she's listening and she's like, I would love that. I would love that. But rather than automatically showing, there's something about a man that can just show. So if it's a date, he shows you in that date certain things. And you get to see, oh, okay, this is kind of how he treats his women. Okay, this is kind of how he is. We're having fun. There's nothing attached to this. Cool. If he's not showing you certain things in the date, and that's why I often feel fun in that, you get caught up because you're looking for a purpose. But he never gave you a purpose. He never showed you or told you what he wanted to do to afford the purpose that you've given. So oftentimes I hear women say, I like him. He keeps calling me his friend. That's what you are. Well, one day he's nice. Are we not supposed to be nice to our friends? He doesn't call me every day. Do you talk to every friend of yours every day? But then he tells me he misses me. Don't you text me or your girlfriend and say you miss her? Kissy face, kissy face.
Now, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but I have someone who's sending me now. They've had the experience where they were attracted to a young man. The man was attracted to her, but they did not choose to be exclusive, but he chose to speak to her every day. He wanted to take her out 3 or 4 times a week, but he still refused to say, this is, I'm courting you, or this is my special friend, whatever it is. So
okay.
She was getting mixed signals.
Mm-hmm. No, she wasn't. And I'm going to tell you why. She should have still been dating. She should have still been dating. You can take me out 3 to 4 times a week, and Bob is going to take me out the other 2 days. I'm not giving you all my time, and I'm going to tell you no sometimes. That's all. That's it. When every woman tells me that, what are you talking about? No. You are allowing him to control you. You always maintain control. Okay, thank you. You have the conversation, and he's like, you know what, Betty? I love spending time with you. I love hanging out with you. I'm just not ready to be in a relationship. No problem. I love hanging out with you, too. And I love being your friend as well. You're not hitting it, and I ain't giving you all my days either. If Jimmy walks up to me and says, would you like to go out, Tia? I sure would. I'm single. We are giving people titles and rights they have not obtained, ordained, or act for those roles. So how can you get mad at him? You're not getting mixed signals. You're allowing yourself to stay there because you're afraid or you think that you're not worth it. Again, once you know your worth, when you're with him and he told you he didn't want to be with you or he didn't want to be exclusive, when you're walking with him and you're walking in a room and you understand how to command attention with your clothes on and your demeanor and you are confident in who you are, when you're standing there, and the guy says hello or whatever, and you're laughing and you're joking because men do speak. And you're like, oh, no, that's just my friend. How are you? Daniel, nice to meet you. Have a great day. And you keep laughing and smiling out of that conversation. What does Bob one look at you and say? Huh? I'm your friend? Yeah, I heard you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And at that
point,
he has to be checked. He has to deal with himself on that.
True. Now, I've heard someone say, and it was the best thing that I had heard in a long time, and it came from a man. He said, you must regulate the amount of time a man spends with you until his level of commitment elevates.
True, true, and true. You must.
Let's talk about it.
He must
yes.
never, nope. He can't see you too often.
Yes.
He doesn't have nothing to miss. You know what I miss? And let me tell you something. If we're supposed to go on a date and you miss it, when you ask me for a reschedule, I'm then like, I'm booked. I can see you in 2 weeks. You will learn that my time is extremely valuable.
Mm. All right. All
People
right.
do what we allow.
Okay. So we're on this journey. We're stepping back out. We're dating. We need to understand how to value ourselves so that other people will value us. We need to know how to regulate our time, even when someone continuously says that I want to see you, I want to take you out, I want to go to dinner with you, and you have to say yes, but that amount of time requires a certain level of commitment. The amount
exactly.
of time that you're requesting requires a certain amount of commitment, and since that is not, you know, where we are, then, you know, you have to take the time that I give you. Now, I see that we do have a caller on the line that may have a question or a comment. Your number ending in 5627, I'm bringing you in. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. Are you ready for the ring? We are talking about, are you ready for the ring? Please introduce yourself. Hello?
I'm here.
No, I know
I'm
you're
sorry,
here.
I was on mute. Sorry, this is Beatrice. I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. You pressed one. Okay, go on.
Yes, I'm really enjoying the conversation, but I have a question here. You just said that you heard from someone that a woman should regulate the amount of time she spends with someone until the person is able to commit or something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question I have is, if we are dating and I don't mind spending time with the person because we're only dating, not courting, according to the description here we spoke about earlier, so what's mm-hmm. wrong with that? If the person wants to go out 5 times a week, I don't see the problem with it.
Let me say this. If the woman is strong enough to not get connected and not get overwhelmed with it, then go for it. But for the most part, as women, the more time that we spend with a person, we get attached to them. So
mm-hmm.
if a man is to give you 5 days out of the week, that's a lot of time. You can't do that for 3 months and then have someone tell you, I don't want to be in a relationship. Huh? What do you mean?
Because that's not what you demonstrated. Right,
because
right.
We're in a dating courtship, and especially if this woman at this point is having sex, if you're spending that much time with a person, and it's not going forward into a relationship realm, you two have had sex, you're loving it and you're enjoying it, and then you say to this person, "I have a wedding to go to. I would really love for you to come with me." And he says, oh, I'm not doing that because we're not together. You're then bruised. And men love mystery. And men love the chase. And men love what they can't have. That's why when you see most men, when it comes to jobs, I always say this. People go for those high-profile jobs because it's a lot of work, and he has to prove himself worthy for it. Same with women. When you look at a woman and say, how did she get him? And they say she didn't play that. We have to get to that point where we don't allow you to put us in a box because we are the prize. At the beginning and the end of the day, the woman is a treasure. And you always want that man to love you more. If a man knows that he has a possibility of losing a woman, he treats her totally different than when a man is complacent and comfortable in his situation. Completely different. There's no reason to give someone that you are just dating, laughing and having a good time with 5 days. How do you even know if this is the man for you? Mm-hmm. You don't even have anything to compare him against.
Mm-hmm. So, if I may ask another question.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, with that being said, should we say that there should be some kind of time frame or a limit? Or let's say, okay, I give you 3 months or, you know, until we can switch from that dating part to that courting part. Is there a time frame here?
That's an excellent question. When do you say, listen, if you know that you're catching feelings or if you're getting connected and this person is not, and you need to make sure that you're not putting yourself back in a situation of you know, either being abused or wasting your time, how long should you see someone without the level of commitment that you are seeking?
Okay, so that's an amazing question. So here's where it comes into play. This goes into what you want. What you want. If you say, Tia, I want to be in a relationship, you and I both know that you're not going to tolerate that over 60 days. It won't even make it to 90. If you are really liking someone and you're spending time with them, and that's why I tell everyone, when you come to me, you are dating 2 to 3 people, and everyone is well aware. Because at this point, Bob has to make a true decision, Greg has to make a decision, Marcus has to make a decision. You now have gone out with Greg on 1 week. It was amazing. He wasn't consistent. He didn't keep up. He might call you once a week. He might just text you once a week. Greg might always be the one that's texting and calling. Greg and Mark might be toe-to-toe. So there's something about Mark that you really don't like. But, you know, every time he asks to go out, you're like, oh, I'm busy. Or you do go with him, but you've seen how Greg opens your door or he walks on the outside. And Greg is putting forth a different type of an effort. The reality is that that 60-day time frame that we're talking about right now, it will naturally fall off. But the guy that is serious, when you're like, I'm dating, and I'm dating other people, just so you know, he has to make an executive decision to say, do I want to deal with this woman or do I not want to deal with this woman? And then if they really want you, they don't take all year.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh. But it's really true. It's so true. I've had the experience myself when I was dating someone. And of course, I don't know why guys do this, and they don't believe you when you say it. But, you know, some guys will say, look, I'm not looking for a girlfriend. And you will turn around and say, great, I'm not looking for an exclusive boyfriend. We're just dating. And then they find out that you're dating. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute. You know, why are you going out with, you know, other people? And but hold on, you said you weren't looking for something exclusive. So how about you not be concerned about that and spend the time that we spend together focused on what we're doing? I have had that experience. And the moment they found out that I was, you know, I was true to my word, then all of a sudden they wanted to be exclusive. And even then I still didn't do it because I don't think you wanted to be exclusive for the right reasons. You were just feeling intimidated. If you really want to be exclusive with me, then you will just show me by what we do during the time we spend together. Are you asking questions about me? Are you trying to get to know me? Are you allowing me to get to know you? Are we finding out the things that we have in common? Do we have anything in common? If I am very deeply spiritual and you're an atheist, guess what? We're only going to be friends. So I like what you're saying about, you know, it's not going to take all year for someone who's interested in either taking the relationship to the next level or at least letting you know, saying, listen, I'm not ready for exclusivity, but I want to let you know that that is eventually where I would like to go.
Right, right. And I think that we often say certain things, but we have to, as women, we have to be comfortable with knowing that if a man isn't into us, it is not rejection.
Ooh.
It is not rejection.
Say that again. Say that again.
We have to be comfortable with knowing that if a man is not into us, it's not rejection. That wasn't the man for us. We take every guy we meet as a form of rejection. We're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe he didn't choose me. Every man out here is not, that's not your man.
You were made for one person. You might meet a couple of frogs along the way. You might go through some amazing lessons to make you an incredible wife. But that is not a form of rejection. That is a bomb lesson to prepare you to the next level.
All right.
And so what we do is we hold on to someone not wanting us, and we put so much stock into Billy Bob not choosing us that it blinds us for the person that could be for us.
Mm.
I have no problem. If I'm dating you and you stop calling me, I do not pick up my phone and say what happened.
Good. That's, you know what, that's a show for another day where we're going to talk about what rejection really is. We're going to definitely get on that.
Yeah, because it's not what people think. It's not what it is. And even in my own scenario, I'll give you an example, ladies. Lord have mercy. I hope no one that knows me is listening. I am in the process of getting my own ring, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of me getting my own ring, my guy is getting ready to go to CISS, you know? And he's excited, he's bragging, and he's this and he's that. Well, go ahead and do that. I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I mean, I love for you to travel. But here's mm-hmm. the funny thing about what men need to see. Men need to see you living just as much as they're living.
Yes.
And
agreed.
Our living is different from their living. So when you come back, I'll be maintenance. I'll be together. But that's not for you. That's for me, if that
right.
makes sense. So when you're like, well, what were you doing? Whoa. You got to. It ain't spring yet. Why you got a pedicure? You don't get a pedicure. Hey, I just wanted to feel sexy. But how was your trip?
Now, hold on.
Because
Hold that thought because we have another caller that has a question or a comment, and I'm bringing you in your number ending in 5695. Welcome to Tribal Wisdom. Join the conversation.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
One of the problems that I have experienced is when it comes to, I feel like when it comes to dating multiple people, A,
mm-hmm.
I am really not good at it.
Okay.
I don't juggle people well. I don't juggle friends well. I can't juggle multiple things. It just doesn't work very well for me. And then B, I seem to have an issue with finding multiple people attractive at the same time. So if I'm dating and I'm trying to date somebody else just to show somebody that I have a life, I feel like, but I don't want to date this person either. So so what do you suggest? I mean, I know I can go out with my girlfriend, but then it still feels like you're still in an exclusive relationship with only one man instead of
okay.
a friendship with multiple men that you don't really want to have around. So
okay.
how do you
work address everything you just said? First
okay,
off,
now hold on. Hold on. Ladies, hold on for 1 second. I just want to say this because if you're listening by the internet, the show is going to cut off in the next 8 minutes. And if you want to listen in and continue with the conversation, you have to call in the number 347-996-3160 because I know this is going to be a good explanation and I don't want to cut you off in the middle. I want to start right here and then. If you don't want to miss any of the conversation, be sure to call in. And it will continue even after the show has cut off on the internet. So go on. She wants to know, you know, how
okay.
do you do this dating? How do you date multiple people at once?
Okay. First, I'm going to address the first thing you said when you spoke to me. Stop using the word I can't. Words are extremely powerful.
Say that again because, say it again because you got cut off a little bit. What does she have to do?
First, stop saying I can't. Because words are extremely powerful. So we have what we say, number one. Number two, dating is fun. I want you to remember that. So even if it's a guy that you're not attracted to, you're not, well, before I go there, when you are dating another guy, when you're dating a guy and you are happy and you like him, your body naturally releases endorphins, which is then makes other men, which is a natural chemical, metabolic situation, it makes other men alert, and they're like, oh,
someone likes her.
The pheromones, baby, the pheromones.
Yeah, so you're like, what is going on? If you're in a relationship, you can have a title, and you're happy, you are just in a great place, and every ex you have starts calling because their sixth sense as a man kicks in, and they now know. It is a natural thing every woman goes through. At that point, feel flattered and know that that man is a substance to a degree. Okay? Thirdly, it is just for your dating. If you know that you like one guy, those other guys are just place fillers. Again, something to compare compare with. It's nothing serious. We put so much stock in dating. I want you to take a deep breath, and the next time that you date, I don't normally do this, but I'll give you this. One of the things that you probably do is that you analyze every single thing in your life. So when it comes to the date, you're analyzing and you're trying to make sure that this guy is the one, because you don't want him to mess up and not be the one, and then you're second-guessing yourself. So sometimes you have got to be completely confident in you all the way around so that you don't analyze, because you're overanalyzing sometimes sabotages really great situations. Does that make sense?
It does in a way. And when I say I can't, I just mean I don't enjoy it. So I guess I should have said I don't enjoy having multiple relationships with multiple people. It's just kind of not, it just doesn't work well with my personality.
What's your personality?
I'm kind of very like a loyal person. So when I try to have multiple friendships, it just confuses me. And in the same way with multiple, if I had multiple male relationships, which I don't find myself interested in the people. Like I will go on, I've gone on like many dates, but I don't really like them. I think I just go on them because I feel like I'm obligated to appear fun and single, and I have a hard time with that. Like it's not fun.
So I have a question. I definitely have a question.
I don't enjoy it as much.
Well, when you say that you don't enjoy it, because now I'm a little intrigued. When you say that you don't enjoy it, because I know when I was going on multiple dates, I wasn't going on the date to like a person deeper than I needed to. It's like Tia said, we're going on a date to enjoy ourselves, so we're going to pick something that we like to do. If you don't enjoy the company of the people that you are dating, then I can understand how you don't enjoy yourself. But if I enjoy your company, it's not about how much I really like you, but it is about how much, because there are some people that I go out on dates with because I like their conversation. We have really great conversations. I don't feel romantic about you at all. I don't have any real attraction to you, but we can have a really wonderful time together. We'll go bowling. We talk a lot of trash. It's about a good time. We have movies in common. So we're always talking about certain movies that we saw. We're analyzing the movies and not necessarily the date. So I'm wondering if you're dating individuals to like them, or if you're dating individuals to enjoy yourself and enjoy certain things about the people that you're spending time with.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because see, you're saying relationship and a friendship is a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not. You're putting too much emphasis on the simplest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to like it. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like the diet. If someone told you can't eat anything, you feel so restricted, you're like, I don't want to do this. What's the benefit? I'm hungry. So,
right.
So looking at it where I want you to look at it where it's not obligation, and you should never feel obligated to see anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do it because it's something you like to do,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to enjoy. Do you like spending time with you?
I the current moment, not so much. It's kind of not that fun anymore.
Okay.
I'm not that fun. So
okay.
I do a lot of things. I pretty much do everything by myself. So I don't do a lot with other people these days. Like I may have used to a little bit. So I find myself by myself a lot. I don't necessarily enjoy it. It's just how things kind of are. And I think, I go out and I go to different places and I go to coffee shops and stuff like that. I go dancing and, but I mean, I just really am not that excited about it and I'm not really truly enjoying it. I feel like
mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to do it to like accomplish this task of not sitting in the house.
What you're doing is when you do go out, because you're not enjoying that, you're not even exuding life.
Mm.
Right.
You're not getting off life. And so nothing
mm-hmm.
you do is going to be enjoyed. That's why what I would, okay. So one of the things I'll tell you to do is this. Go into your bathroom. Get completely butterball naked. I know this sounds crazy. And say, self, I don't know your name, self, this is what I don't like. Then put on a pair of underwear. And this is what I'm going to fix. Not a bra, but the underwear. And I'm going to tell you why I say not the bra. The underwear covers your most sacred part. And that's the part that is only allowed to be given to someone once they have proven themselves according, or if you are spiritual, your husband. But if you look at yourself naked, you're able to see yourself for what it for you at that moment. It is not an easy thing to do. Because when you really look at you in the mirror, it's like, I don't like the fact that I'm by myself. I don't like the fact that the last two relationships ended this way. I don't like the fact that I don't have a person to talk to. I would really like a healthy, strong female relationship with a good girlfriend and a opposite sex. And you have to start to shift your mindset at the same token shifting what it is that you want. Because I can't tell you what you want if you can't tell me what you want. And the only way that you can figure out what you want, oftentimes, is when you are at your purest, most vulnerable form, and that's naked. And if it's not naked, it's when you've lost everything. And it's not when you lost everything, it's when you're trying to pursue your dream and you are up against the wall and it's either do or die. That's when you can get honest and say, I want this job. I want this career. I need to make money. When you are pushed to get real, and getting real with yourself is literally looking in that mirror and looking at who is standing in front of it and what is here that I don't like on the outside and on the inside. And
all right.
It is a very difficult
okay.
scenario, but it's real.
Now, you know what I want to say now, because I have a question coming in from the chat room as well, but this caller has prompted me to ask questions about attractions, because
mm-hmm.
I think this seems like something that is closer to, do we know what we are attracted to? Because
right.
I feel like we can't enjoy ourselves unless we understand the things that we are attracted to. I know that there's a term called sapiosexual. I know that I'm a sapiosexual. I'm very attracted to intelligence. To intelligent men. I love having conversation. Now, I don't want to have sex with them, you know. I don't want to take it any further than it needs to go, but I know that that is something that I am attracted to. I also know that I am a foodie. So I'm attracted to spending time with people who are like me, who like good food, not just food, but who are adventurous about finding small places that cook really good food, and we can talk, this food is good, and I can't wait to come back here again. I might even find a way to write about it. So to the caller, I'm going to challenge you to make a list and find out about the things that you are attracted to so that you would know who to be spending time with. You don't want to just spend idle time with men who you're just going out with just to be going out with. That is a waste of time, in my opinion. But if you know the things that you are attracted to, you know the things that you enjoy, then you should be gravitating toward those type of men, and not just those types of men, but those types of situations. If I like to have intelligent conversations, I'm going to certain types of seminars where I'm going to meet men who like to have those types of conversations. And we are going to strike up a friendship. It doesn't have to go anywhere past that. But because I know what I'm attracted to in my life, those are the things that I go after. I'm attracted to, I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, so I like motorcycles. I'm going to the motorcycle show. You know, do you know the things that you are attracted to?
I've had things that I've been attracted to in the past, but Georgia is a new state. I'm in state Georgia, and it's a new state for me, and I don't find the things that I really like here. And so I find variations of things I like, but not, but it's different. It's just different than the things that I've done in the past. It's a variation of the same thing. It's just not the same thing. It's kind of like, you know, a nice, good hamburger, and then there's like McDonald's.
yes,
you know,
I get it.
A
I love
hamburger,
it.
It is a hamburger. It's just not the hamburger that I'm used to. So
No, I get it.
It's hard to say what I like because the things that I know that I like aren't here. They're in other locations. So whether it be, you know, friends or environment, it's like, well, this is a variation, but these are not the same. These aren't the same people, same environment. So, so I find it very challenging in that sense of, you know, there's probably something that I like and I haven't found it and I don't know how to find it because I'm not connected to anything.
So I'm just
kind of free-floating, and that, I think, makes the whole situation, because I think deep down I don't want to commit to being here, and I feel like it would be very hard to, you know, I can't really see myself here.
Yeah,
so
see, there's a lot going on. Yeah, you have a lot more going on.
And until I said that, I didn't realize it's because I just don't see myself here. So I could date, but I don't find that I want to establish a life here. And so it's like,
so you're not going to connect with
the
one
point.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And I'm a little, I'm 38. So I'm like, well, I don't really see the point. I just want to move to where I want to live. And then maybe I should date when I get there. So I don't know. I don't know what is the right thing to do because I haven't moved yet, and that may not happen anytime soon. You know, it might happen in a year. You know, it's a job thing, it's a money thing. You know, there's just a lot of factors.
Yeah, you've got some things to think about. Yeah, you've definitely got a lot more going on than just. It's not just about dating. There's some decisions that, you know, that you have to make. There's some things that you need to think about. You do still have to make that list of things that you are attracted to, in order to know, you know, how to go about meeting people. And then you might have to integrate travel. Either you have to go to those things that you are attracted to, or you have to bring those things to you.
Definitely. And you definitely, and that might be your boyfriend. Travel.
Yes.
It may be that a thing that you should do for 15, especially if you don't feel vested or connected in Atlanta, is to literally travel. Like if you're able to have that ability, every 90 days, travel. Go somewhere
I like
and explore
it.
That. that'll also allow you time to really fall back in love with you. And you'll get to taste a different scenery. You'll get to smell different air. You'll get to see different things. And you may come back to Georgia and say, it ain't that bad.
Right.
Or, I really love this area. And when you make the next decision in your life, you'll know where you want to go.
Okay.
Yep.
I'll see if I can do that out of budgetary constraints, but we'll
right.
work on that.
Yeah, even
right,
if
well,
it's one or two places, if it's something that's simple and amazing, even if it's like you get in your car and you just go a little bit out or just something different, you need different air. You need to smile again from the inside out.
Yes. Get on Amtrak if you have to. I always say, listen, there are always weekend deals of different things that will cost you like little to no money.
Mm-hmm.
Do some exploring. Explore your – I'm going to just say my advice – I know you need to listen to Tia, but my advice is to definitely explore your attractions and explore your budget for those attractions. You have to, you know, answer the questions: who, what, when, where, why, and how. How am I going to get there? Why am I going? You know, who am I going? Who am I doing this for? I'm doing this for myself. You need to answer the six questions all the time, and then find a way to make sure that you're making yourself happy and understanding who you are. You have to have a deeper understanding of who you are, because you're just not connected. Mm-hmm. Yes, make sure you're keeping a journal.
Keep a journal of everything. This is why I tell people you are dating. Dating is decide, associating, testing, and evaluating. You are getting ready to date yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean for a purpose. Why are you dating yourself? Because I want to meet and attract an amazing man that is going to be with me for the long haul for a commitment purpose. How am I going to do this? I am going to fall in love with myself. I am going to date myself, and I am going to treat me the way that I want to be treated and expect and require to be treated for the rest of my life.
Yes.
When am I going to do this? I am starting immediately. And why am I doing this? Because I deserve it and I am worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you to say that every single morning, that is what you say. And you say it. I am attracting, miracles are happening, but I am attracting an amazing man that is going to be here, defend me, love me, care for me forever.
But you have to do those things first.
You have to do those other things first, though. But you have to believe it when you say it. And look in the mirror and say it. Say it. Like, believe it. Because if you can't convince me, and I'm a female, and I'm not sleeping with you, and I'm able to say, do you enjoy this? Do you like that? Do you want this? Imagine a man who is geared to understand women.
Mm-hmm.
And you should really be, like, so thankful that you've been protected to not get with a man that could be able to manipulate or come across, or a guy that looks on the outside all the amazing things that you want and is not taking that and running with it and using it to their advantage.
Nice.
Because
now,
there are so many men that are doing that.
Okay.
Now, to our caller, we have actually people in the chat room who are sending you resources. So if you're on Facebook and you have a chance to go into the event, our event, you can just look us up on Bridal Tribe or Tribal Wisdom or Blog Talk Radio /Bridal Tribe. Send me a message if you have to, and I will send you some of the resources that some of the callers some of our chat room individuals are suggesting. They're suggesting meetup.com, that you join meetup.com and connect with other people. And there's something called Side Tour. I don't know what that is. I'm going to have to check it out myself. But they're suggesting Side Tour. I guess that's going to be for traveling. And I hope that we helped and answered some questions for you today.
All right. Yes, you did. And thank you so very much for the show.
You're welcome.
I hope
you're
enjoying it.
Yes. Join us again next week for that. Now, we do have last question for tonight. We have a caller, or rather a chat room person, that says, what suggestions do you have for a woman who is ready to date but not coming across many suitable potential suitors?
Okay.
Do you want
one
me to repeat
things,
that?
No, I got it.
Okay. Okay.
One of the things, when she, I just need one definition of suitable. Is she talking about the men or is she talking about her environment?
She's listening, so hopefully she will answer in the chat. Are you caller or listener, are you talking about suitable men or are you talking about suitable environment? She said the men's is child, the men's.
Okay, okay. One of the things that I just wanted to make sure. One of the things I'm going to say, and I want her to hear me, what is it that they are doing that is not suitable? And are all of them doing the exact same thing? If so, I want her to not completely look in the mirror, but look in the mirror enough to see, what am I giving off that I keep attracting this type of a man? If it is not like that, and it's just a bad stock of men, change your environment ASAP. You cannot get different results going to the same location. You cannot get different results going around the same people. If you live on the west side, go to the east side. Go to an event earlier in the morning. Go to people. Go to events that you would like to, that are where you would like to be, where you would want to be, where you aspire to be. Change up certain things. What we do is we get stuck in a pattern, and we constantly go to the same club or the same church or the same venue, thinking that we're going to get something different. You know everybody in there. You're not going to get anything different. And if you do, that is oftentimes a very dangerous distraction. So change up where you're going. And when you meet people, change kind of how you speak to them. So like the new set of guys, if you're more like, hey, how are you? I'm single. I'm fun. Next time when someone's like, are you single? I'm dating. And see if he's piqued, if he's intrigued. How long have you been dating? About 6 months. No, 3 months. 3 months. 3 months, because you want a man. 3 months. 3 months. And you just enjoy it. You have fun with it. And then you don't answer all of their phone calls or all of their texts. You leave some mystery. Leaving the mystery allows for you to be able to still do other things, and you get to see the difference in the type of men, because they'll start to pursue more. I think nice. The men that she's dating, meeting, are not pursuers, and they're full of baloney.
And there's plenty of baloney out there, trust me. So, yeah, so she says, okay, expand my social circle by changing my environment. She's going to work on that. I love it. I love it. And make sure you keep us posted about how that works. Now, we have another caller. Caller, your number ending in 9431. You are on Tribal Wisdom. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I was the one on message. So you said something and I was going to respond back to it, but you've already moved forward.
Okay.
Oh, you
okay.
What?
I was the one that posed the question via the chat. So
okay.
You responded. You said something in there, and I couldn't respond because I wasn't on the phone. So I hit one, and that's how it.
Okay.
But yeah,
did I help you, or was it?
Yeah, you did. I'm like I mentioned in the chat. I'm working on expanding my social circle. I did. I have been trying online a couple of like two online dating sites, but it hasn't been like a mutual interest. Or, like, one site, there's a lot of stuff, but the people just are not my type at all. Or the majority
of
the
folks. A lot of people say that to me. A lot of people say that to me often. And do you know what you want?
Yeah, I believe I do.
Okay.
You want to know what it is?
If you feel like, can you tell me?
Oh, yeah. Someone that's, like, a practicing believer, someone who was kind. And has a purpose and a passion for life in general. That's it. That's it for just like the basics.
Okay. I do have a gift. I don't want you to be confused with this. Do you have room for a man?
I think I do.
Like when you sleep in your bed, do you sleep on the side or the middle?
Oh, the side.
Okay.
Do you have, like, space in your, like, if a man walked into your house today, would he feel like you were all together or that there was room for him to be able to grow?
No, I don't have it all together.
Okay. Somewhere, I'm just getting this feeling, somewhere down the line, start to prepare yourself to be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
To have what you say to prepare. You need to start preparing mm-hmm. for that. You're not prepared all the way, if that makes sense. I'm not
okay.
talking about financially or whatever. I'm just saying in general, like little aspects
okay.
make room for him. Make room for a man to be able to come into your life. You don't have the room in there, so you're kind of blocking some different things because there's been guys that have approached you that weren't all bad.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You know what? That's definitely going to be we're going to chat about that next time, about making room for your mate. I think that's an excellent conversation for us to have. It needs to be a deeper conversation because we don't all, and I don't even understand what all of that means. When we say make room for a man, I, on certain things for me, I know I'm together. I'm financially, I have my home. I have all the things I want. My career is on track, all of those different things. But
mm-hmm.
The definition of making room for him or allowing him to be someone that you need in your life to be a partner is something that
mm-hmm.
we absolutely need to discuss. So, to our listeners, I'm so glad all of you were on tonight. Wow, we had a lot of people on. We had a lot of people in the chat room. Tia's going to be on again on the third Wednesday of next month for Are You Ready for the Ring? And we're going to be talking about making room for your mate. We're going to be talking about understanding your attractions. And if there's something that you would like us to talk about or discuss, please hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on bridaltribe.com. Go to the contact area. Send me a question. I answer you. Trust me. And I can forward them to Tia as well. And we will set up the show with some guests to answer those questions. We want to thank you again. Tia, thank you for being on the show again tonight. You know I so enjoy our talks.
Yes, ma'am. I do too. I think we're probably the last Wednesday. I thought we're the last.
It was the last Wednesday, but I think that we have a change for March. For March.
Wow.
March is our Get Fired Up for Marriage month, guys. If you're listening, that's going to be a fun month. We're talking with Stacey Murphy next Wednesday. She is a powerhouse. We're going to be talking about juicy love.
Love it.
Yes, yes. You know, as a matter of fact, hold on. Let me go ahead and get her her bio for you so that you know what we have in store for you for next Wednesday with Miss Stacey Murphy. She is Reignite Juicy Love and Sizzling Passion. Stacey is a certified intimacy coach and founder of Blissful Lotus School of Loving Arts. Now, I can't wait to talk to her because I want to know what Loving Arts is about. And I want to
yes.
know how she became an intimacy coach and what that means. So if you would like to know more about what a certified intimacy coach is, please look her up on Blissful Lotus. I believe it's blissfullotus.com. And get ready for our chat with Stacey next week about reigniting juicy, passionate love in your life. As for tonight, guys, I'm so grateful to have you on. I can't wait to speak with you again next week. You know our motto, it's not just about love, it's about relationship. We'll talk to you soon. Love you.
Have a great day.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Tribal Wisdom. Stop by bridaltribe.com and visit our media page for full recaps of every show, amazing articles, and free downloads. We have an ever-growing library of knowledgeable guests with vital information for any stage of your relationship. At Tribal Wisdom, we are order and excellence in action, and we are devoted to love.